Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard along with Trevor Sikkema, both of us from the Draft Network. Today is Super Show Friday. That has no alliteration. We don't care. Kyle Krabs, Joe Marino, and the Draft Dudes are in our fantasy studio. And I say fantasy because it's not real, and we are all in different parts of the country, still killing it. Kyle, Trevor, Joe, how is my squad today? Everyone answer at once. It's really awkward when that happens.
All right, so we'll go on three.
Ready? Three, two, one.
Great.
Great.
Trevor didn't say anything.
Let's just go ahead and call Super Show as a wash, boys.
Great start, fellas. Great start. Today for the Super Show, and in the coming weeks for the Super Show, we are going to be taking a look at teams around the NFL, divisions around the NFL, and going through team by team and talking about one player from each team that each of us need to, usually second or third year players, that each of us really need to either peak this season or show something this season. In a lot of cases, they're guys that could be busts if they don't show something this season. In some cases, it's a guy that's flashed in the past and been hurt, and we need him to bounce back and kind of continue to make that climb and that ascension to who they were as a prospect or who they looked like they were going to be as rookies. So there'll be lots of different perspectives, but again, second and third year guys mostly. Who we need, based on where we were at pre-draft, we need them for our credibility's sake to go ahead and step up and thrive this season. We're beginning with the NFC North. We're going to talk about the NFC North and the AFC North today on the podcast. Beginning with the NFC North, let's start with you, Kyle. Let's start with the Chicago Bears. This is an upstart team that a lot of people have faith will at least be competitive this season compared to where they were in years past. Who on this roster do you need to come up clutch this season?
I mean, it'd be great if Kevin White could stay on the field for more than six snaps, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be an excellent start. But if I look at the roster and I'm looking for a player that maybe isn't in a make-or-break season, but it's like, yeah, dude, you need to bounce back strong. You need to stay healthy for the whole year. It's Leonard Floyd. Leonard Floyd was inside my top 30 prospects when he came out in the 2016 NFL draft. He had a good rookie season. He played 12 games, had seven sacks, only played in 10 games last year, dipped to 4.5 sacks. The durability has obviously been a huge concern. He was a guy coming in that was super long and super light. So the ability to, A, stay on the field for as many games as possible, and B, showcase some of that pass rush ability, because they're going to need it too. You know, a defensive front of Akeem Hicks and Jonathan Bullard can provide some interior pressure. But as far as the pass rushers on the outside, like if Leonard Floyd isn't able to bring the heat, Chicago's going to be in trouble with the outside pass rush.
Absolutely. Joe, we'll let the guests go first. Who for the Chicago Bears do you need to show up this season? And you can pick who Kyle picked. If that's your guy and you were high on him, go for it.
I'm going with another defensive player, Jonathan Bullard, the former Florida, the Florida defensive tackle. I really fell in love with his ability to penetrate the line of scrimmage and get into the backfield, and hasn't really translated yet to the NFL level, but I'm optimistic this is the year that he can get things going. I'm a little concerned that he got so much action in the Hall of Fame game last week when virtually no starters were featured in that game. But, you know, like Kyle mentioned there, they've got some potential there with him and Hicks on the inside to get some push, but I need him to be more of a consistent player so that, you know, he can make me look smart and that I believed into his ability to penetrate in the NFL.
Okay, Bullard is my guy as well for much of the same reasons you just said, except I bet I was higher on him than anybody in here. Trevor, was he your guy too?
I like Bullard. I think you were higher on Bullard than I was, well, but sure. I mean, I like Bullard a good amount.
I was 13 overall for Bullard, folks. Whew. So I'm taking the massive L if he doesn't step up this season. I know they have a good defensive line.
Great job.
Come on, man. I need him to show something. I need a bad. Trevor, who was your guy going to be?
My guy is actually tight end Adam Shaheen.
Oh, just because of the Chipotle thing.
Well, I was going to say, the Chipotle connection is big because I need Shaheen to represent Chipotle fandom really well. I need him to kind of step it up. But in actual football analysis, I mean, they bring in Trey Burton. They've already got Deion Sims, who is there. It's kind of like they drafted this guy in the second round. Where is he really going to fit in? What's his role going to be like in 2018? The offense is obviously evolving in a lot of different ways. They're bringing in a lot of different parts. Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, drafting Anthony Miller. So there's now all of a sudden a ton of weapons on the Chicago Bears team, and this is a guy that you draft in the second round. Where are you going to play him? How are you going to use him? So I'm just kind of more of just looking forward to seeing how the Bears end up using their second round draft pick from last year.
Well, good points all the way around. Agree all the way around. Kyle, yours, people are acting like Leonard Floyd's kind of a shoe-in to really produce this season at a high level. I don't know. I don't think it's been there on tape yet. He certainly has a lot of potential, so we'll see what happens this season. How about the Detroit Lions? Can't find much of anybody that I liked in their last draft class, but Trevor, we'll start with you, going back to second and third year players. And again, you'll have the opportunity to choose from a bevy of Florida players here, so we'll see what you come up with. But the player that you are high on that you really need to take a step this season.
Yeah, actually, two guys kind of in the same position, both linebackers, Jared Davis and then Jalen Reyes-Maven. And I think that both of them stepping up, solidifying their ability to play as nickel linebackers, you kind of hope, could give the Lions the range that they need to go from sideline to sideline playing with only two linebackers. You're hoping they kind of develop as coverage guys as well. But I think the Lions need solidified play from the linebacker position. And so I think those are, I know I'm cheating, I'm picking two guys, but I was pretty high on both Davis and Reyes-Maven coming in. And so I think that that unit and those two guys in general coming together, being able to be athletic and consistent would be a big deal for the Lions.
Who you got, Joe?
Yeah, I got another Gator here. Jared Davis for me. I had a first round grade on Jared Davis. I really fell in love with his approach to the game. Super physical guy. And look, Jared Davis is a good football player. You're going to see that this year.
He looked pretty good getting truck stick the other day in those practices with the Raiders.
Yeah, that was not pretty.
You know, I've got some buddies. I've got some buddies that are up there in Lions camp, and they say good things. So I'm optimistic that my other Gator here is going to come through in the NFC North.
Okay. Kyle, who you got?
Joe Zintel is giving him very good things about Jared Davis. But yeah, Trevor, it's a little rude, man. There's four of us here on this show. You can't double dip like this. Jared Davis.
We're hosting the first Super Show, so that I kind of am allowed to.
Are you taking the Hugh Jackson approach that you can do whatever the hell you want because you're the head coach?
You know, thing. Not to say yes, but yes.
All right, Kyle, you go with Jared Davis too.
Jared Davis, no further commentary required.
Agreed. I had a third round grade on Jared Davis, so I need things to keep going exactly as they were during his rookie season. For me with the Lions, it's Taylor Decker. I need, you know, and not that he played well as a rookie, but last year was injured, missed most of the season. And then it became this process where, okay, he's coming back, but he's clearly not 100%. And he did struggle a little bit in the second half of last season. Well, not even second half, last five games, I think he played last season. So I need him to get back to that form because I had him as a top 10 player. I need him to bounce back from that. I fully believe he will. I think he's going to be one of the better tackles in the league. But I need him to get back to where he was, that trajectory he was on as a rookie that got kind of interrupted last season. That's the guy I really need to step up for them. Okay, for the Green Bay Packers, Kyle, will bounce back over to you. Who do you got for Green Bay?
Let Joe lead.
Okay, Joe.
I'm pulling up a report.
Okay, Joe. Kyle's doing his research on air. Very, very good fit for this podcast.
Aaron Jones, for me, the running back from UTEP, I had a high fourth round grade on him. And I thought, you know, he had starter traits. And we saw some of that last year when the Packers just had a ton of injuries at the running back position. And he had some flashes, but, you know, he's suspended for the first two games of the season. And so you kind of wonder where he's going to fit on this depth chart. You feel like they want Ty Montgomery to be the guy. And obviously Jamal Williams is in the fray there as well. So I would love to see Aaron Jones emerge as the feature back there in Green Bay and be true and be right on one of my sleeper picks.
Well said. All right, Kyle, are you ready?
Yes, thank you.
Yep, anytime.
Yeah. I need Kevin King to turn it around because if Kevin King doesn't turn it around, I am going to be insufferable. Do you understand? Giving a fourth round value to Kevin King and him starting five games last year. And
so are you taking a backwards approach to this?
I absolutely am.
He's allowed to do that.
I thought he was one of the most overrated draft prospects in the 2017 class with the conversation that was there with some of the other corners in this class, people talking about Kevin King being one of the best cornerbacks in the class. Nah, fam, I'm out on that. Transitional quickness was a big area of concern for him. I thought he was a little passive when it really caused to be physical. People point to his size and length at 6'3", 200, say, oh, yeah, you know, he's big and physical and long, but he doesn't play that mm-hmm. way. So if Kevin King doesn't have himself a nice turnaround, and let me just say, for the record, the Packers gave him a resounding vote of confidence by spending their first two picks at cornerback this year, then Kevin King's going to really generate a lot of insufferable tweets on your timelines from yours truly.
Wow. Interesting approach there. Trevor, who you got?
My guy's Jamal Williams, and that's just because he seems like he's going to be the guy who's going to get the first and second down duties for the Packers. And anytime you're in an offense where Aaron Rodgers is obviously the focal point, the passing game and his arms is the focal point, sometimes it's tough because they're going to have guys like Ty Montgomery and then Aaron Jones when he gets back. Those guys are going to be rotated in plenty as kind of those third down or pass catching backs. So it's sometimes tough for running backs when, I mean, yeah, they kind of have a game plan with them of getting the majority, you would hope, of the first and second downs. But when you don't have a rhythm, sometimes it can be tough when it really is almost just like a game-by-game basis of how much you're playing, the carries that you get, at the kind of carries that you get. And so I'm really interested to see how he bounces back. I liked some of the flashes that he had at BYU, and so I'm interested to see what he's like kind of starting games as a starting running back for the Packers. Hmm.
I didn't even remember you liking him pre-draft. Not liking him, but...
No, I liked him. Oh, okay. I did. I forgot. I mean, like, I wasn't super high on him, but...
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's Vince Beagle. Not that I was even really high on Vince Beagle, but I haven't really been that high on many of the Packers picks. So I'm picking a guy in Vince Beagle. I think I had a late third round grade on Vince Beagle, tested really well. Energy guy, had, I thought, size and toughness needed to play, needed a lot of polish. So I didn't expect much from him as a rookie. But now, you know, they're going to be moving Matthews around. He hasn't really been productive, and obviously they're looking for a successor to him. This will probably be his last season in Green Bay. And Nick Perry hasn't been great, and he's been hurt a lot. And Kyler Fackrell's really been a disappointment. So I think Vince Beagle has a real good shot to at least grab that number three pass rushing role in Green Bay off the edge and potentially even see more snaps if they do move Clay Matthews around with the injury to Jake Ryan. So I'm excited about Beagle this season. I want to see how much he's developed, and I think he has a chance to start flashing that and showing that in the preseason at least. So he'd be my guy for the Packers. How about for the Vikings? We're going back to Trevor for the Vikings. Who's your guy?
Mac Alexander would be my guy for the Vikings.
Took mine.
Just because obviously the identity of that Vikings defense is getting pretty solidified. They're turning out to be one of the better rosters in the NFL, as we saw last year. Mac Alexander, former second round pick for him. You kind of thought that you're drafting a guy that high. He was, you know, he played very aggressive, very mostly man coverage roles when he was at Clemson, or cover three roles at least, where he's kind of shutting a guy down in a sideline. You'd figure that was going to be his role, what they drafted him for, maybe phasing Trey Waynes out. Who knows? That really hasn't happened yet. And so now he's kind of playing more of a nickel role. I know from what I read, he kind of was fighting that narrative last year. He wasn't really a fan of being just a nickel corner. But what I've read since, kind of going into this season, he's a little bit more comfortable with it. He's okay with that role. He's just kind of trying to be the best cornerback he can be wherever they're putting him. And so I think with an attitude and mentality, and then obviously his skill and where he was drafted, that would be my pick as the guy to watch.
All right. I also choose Mac Alexander. That was going to be my guy. And again, he's got a lot of pressure mounting there kind of too, because they brought in Mike Hughes, and I think Terrence Newman's still out there kicking. He's still alive, right?
He is.
I mean, unbelievable. And obviously Xavier Rhodes, and you've got Trey Waynes, who is kind of in a, I think this is a contract year for him, so it'll be a big, big season for Waynes, and whether that he ultimately ends up in Minnesota or not. It looks like they're preparing for the future by bringing in Hughes, but a lot of competition for Mac Alexander. Wouldn't be crazy shocking to see him at cornerback five. If Holton Hill shows out, he could be on the bubble. Marcus Sherrills is their return guy. How much do they value him? You know, and Alexander played okay last year. It wasn't like he was terrible, but down the stretch didn't seem like he was kind of the weak link, and teams started to attack him in an otherwise pretty good team, or pretty good defense, obviously. So he would be my guy as well. Kyle, who do you got?
Dalvin Cook. Want to see him come back and be fully healthy. Obviously showed promising flashes early last year, but this was a player I had as my 10th rated player on the board. Mm-hmm. So I was extremely high on him. The offensive line situation in Minnesota is something to monitor. And Dalvin's going to need to be 100% if he's going to be as productive of a player as I had anticipated him being. Because coming off a structural knee injury like that, and some of the pieces that they have up front not necessarily inspiring a lot of confidence, it's going to be a big test for Dalvin this year.
Very good point. Very good point, and agree with you across the board. Joe, who do you think?
Yeah, for me, it's going to be Jaleel Johnson, the defensive tackle. I know you know the big horses up front are Linval Joseph and Sheldon Richardson, but I had a top 100 grade on Jaleel Johnson, and he has an opportunity to be the number three there and, you know, spell those guys when they need to come off the field. So I'm not sure if he's going to offer much as a pass rusher, but if he can and he is the same stout player we saw at Iowa, you know, it'd be nice for my brand if he could be good.
Does anybody here like anybody that the Ravens have drafted at any point in the last 3 years as we move to the AFC North?
Trevor,
I know you like one.
Yeah.
Who?
Yeah.
Let it fly. Oh,
am I up first?
You go.
Tim Williams.
Is that your guy?
I had Tim Williams rated so high coming out of
Alabama. Kyle cannot relate.
Yeah. And he just has not been what I hoped he would be. And I watched him in the preseason game, the Hall of Fame game that they played, and Tim Williams played a lot of snaps, which means he is not high on the depth chart because that is one of their five preseason games. And so when you play a lot of snaps in that first one, that probably means you got a lot of work to do. And so I don't know. I mean, every single Ravens game I watch, I'm going to be watching Lamar Jackson on offense, and I'm basically just going to be watching Tim Williams on defense. So
stand on the sideline?
Not in the preseason. He's not going to play.
Oh, okay. I got you.
It's a we're talking, you know, preseason stuff right now, I think.
Right. So. Yeah. Okay. Kyle, let it fly. I know you're holding one in.
Okay. So before I do, we need to celebrate Matt Judon.
Yes.
Big hit for the brand.
And big hit. Big hit for you. Yeah. Where'd you have him? You had him second round?
51st overall player on the board.
Okay. Yeah.
Ravens drafted him in the fifth round. He has been wonderful. He was one of the top tackles for loss getters in the NFL last year. But I digress. Let's talk about Kamale Correa, who, like Trevor's, spent a lot of time on the field in the preseason game, which is not ideal, but here we are. Correa was a top 30 player for me coming out of Boise State. I liked his tape a lot. I thought, you know, even though he was a little undersized at 6'3 and 243, I got honeypotted by the physicality that this guy played at, not taking into account, yeah, dude's got sub 32-inch arms, so he doesn't have length. So if you're going to be an edge guy and you don't have length, you're probably going to get moved off the ball, which is exactly what the Ravens did with him. But they got a lot of talent on the inside. So it looks like they're going to be moving him around a little bit more. He spent a lot of time on the edge in the preseason game. I'm excited to see what he can do there because I really appreciated and enjoyed his college tape at that position.
Dude, I remember he was getting first-round buzz for a while. People were bumping him up and I don't know.
He went in the second round.
Yeah, I know.
It's not like he
went 42. He went 42. Yeah. Like he was, you know, he's still on high. So I feel like no one's talked about him. I know he's been hurt some, but no one's really talked about him. And most of that class, in fact, Joe, go ahead with your Ravens guy.
Yeah, I had this dude, Chris Wormley, as the 30th player on my board last year. So
I like Chris Wormley. Not that high, but I like
Chris. He's a good football player. Super, you know, super physical at the point of attack. He's not a guy that's going to get moved. And so, know he had some issues last year with injuries, so hoping he comes back and solidifies a role in the rotation up front for Baltimore.
Wormley's probably got to be my guy, too. I mean, I'll also throw Willie Henry's name out there. He was a player I was pretty high on, and he ended up being the 132nd pick. Last year, he played really well, immediately flashed out of the gates in the last preseason game. You know, I don't feel like anybody's talked about him, but he stepped up, and he's the guy keeping Wormley on the bench right now. I don't know if Wormley's even playing poorly or if it's just a matter of Henry playing well and offering maybe a little bit more explosiveness, but you know, two guys I liked Wormley too, so I think I've had second round grades on both of them if I'm remembering correctly. I know I did on Wormley, so I think that both those guys, you know, their ability to show out this season and keep solidifying that defensive line, I think is going to be really big. Obviously you already have Brandon Williams and Michael Pierce there, so that third guy is going to be big.
That front seven.
I agree. Yeah, I don't even – I mean, Carl Davis was a guy going back to 2015 draft. Some people thought he had a sky-high ceiling, and he's down there in, like, the sixth spot. He and Brent Urban are back there. So, yeah, there's a lot of talent on that Ravens front. Okay, let's switch over. Let's talk about the Pittsburgh Steelers. Go ahead and slander who you'd like during this time, but then also remember that you have to say at least some positive thing about a player that you used to like. Go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, geez. A lot of pressure here. I feel like I'm
you're critiquing not being judged.
Is this a safe space? I don't know.
This is. You're in the nest.
Am I in the trust tree?
You're in the trust tree.
little old school reference for the listeners sitting at home. Sean Davis is probably my guy.
Okay. All right.
I was very, very high on Sean Davis. And Sean Davis, John, you may correct me if I'm wrong, but showed a lot of promise as a rookie in 2016. So. Yes. And they tried to let him be the guy last year that played some man-to-man coverage. And that didn't go too well. Yeah, so Sean's got to clean up the tackling. I'm really intrigued by kind of some of the decisions that they've made on the back end, bringing in Marcus Allen, Terrell Edmonds, and obviously Morgan Burnett being the other starting safety there. What does that rotation look like? You know, what are the roles and what are the responsibilities in that secondary? Because I think if you can get Sean in a little bit more of a roaming role and a run support role, I think he can get back to that promise that he showed in 2016.
Yeah, no, I think that's well said. Joe, who do you got?
Yeah, you know, I kind of struggled picking just one. I was thinking about Brian Allen and Cam Sutton here, so I'll kind of just lump them together. I thought both of those guys had some upside coming out. Allen with his length and his transition over from receiver, I thought he had some really big-time flashes at Utah, and so thought he had a chance of being one of those next long athletic corners. But we'll see. He's kind of buried on the depth chart, as well as Cam Sutton, who thought maybe he had a chance to be the Nick there and get some opportunities as a punt returner when Antonio Brown's not back there. But I've had him close to my top 100, and you know, would like to see him carve out a role there in the secondary.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good option. I'm going to have to go with Sean Davis as well. I think that Kyle is right, because if you look across the board for guys that the Steelers have on the roster currently that are actually playing a role that I was high on, you're probably not going to find a whole lot of them. I mean, Juju Smith-Schuster, I did like that pick, but again, he's played well. So you're looking for guys that have underachieved that I was high on pre-draft. And to me, that's got to be Davis, I think, at this point, because I had a second-round grade on him, and I did like him a lot as a player. And I thought, yeah, as a rookie, the flashes were there. And then, man, coverage, he just doesn't have it. He's just not a very smart football player, and I don't know how fixable that is. And a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of troubling tendencies with him. So need a big year from him. Man, do they need some playmakers in the safety, in the secondary, and especially at safety more than anything. Big reason why they moved on from Mike Mitchell. So he'd be my guy.
Is that why they drafted Terrell Edmonds?
first Super Show, and you have to bring that up.
I mean, wouldn't be right if he didn't.
What a shot.
I'm challenging Kyle to bring up Terrell Edmonds in every single Super Show before the season starts.
Challenge accepted.
What if he gets 3 picks tonight? Tomorrow.
Then we'll have some reason to bring his name up next Super Show.
There you go. Just, you're helping me achieve my cause.
You know, I almost said I didn't know Pittsburgh was playing Buffalo. Taking a shot at my own team there, but that would be a surprise.
The brother battle.
Josh Allen. Right. I was taking digs at Josh Allen there.
Jeez. Joe got to Josh Allen before we could.
Yeah, he preempted that one. There's no doubt.
Good strategy there. Trevor, who's your Steeler to watch?
This is kind of an outside-the-box one. I don't even know if it's one like for my own brand, but how James Conner does, I'm really interested to see what he is able to do this season, because obviously there's everything surrounding Le'Veon Bell. I think that this is going to be the last season that Le'Veon Bell is with the Steelers. And so this is kind of James Conner's best chance he might have in his career to maybe become or prove that he might be worthy of being either in a starting rotation or be the starting back outright. I mean, this guy was the ACC Player of the Year back in, 2015 before ended up tearing his MCL the next year and then had everything with Hodgkin's lymphoma. Gets drafted in the third round. And so Connor's been on the team, but I think this is a real kind of door opening for Connor to possibly be near that starting spot or getting some starting carries. So I'm interested to just see how he plays through the preseason and if he looks anything like a guy who you might be able to take a chance on as a guy in a starting running back rotation. Because I don't know how much better of a chance he's going to get knowing that Le'Veon Bell probably is not going to get paid the money that he wants to get paid by the Steelers. And so that's kind of an outside the box thing. I don't even know if it's for my own scouting, but I'm just really interested to see what Connor looks like.
He was great last season. I mean, limited role, obviously, really limited role this year when Jalen Samuels is there too. So does he take away some third down reps if he has better hands than Connor? And so, it does become interesting. Connor's kind of in a position where, it's kind of like a kind of a little bit like a dress rehearsal for a potential future starting gig, but unlikely that happens, but he could still be a major part of their plans if they go with a backfield by committee next season. How about the Cleveland Browns? Man, they've had a ton of draft picks, some that we're high on, some not so much. I'm going to go first just because you guys keep stealing mine, and I don't sound original. I'm going with David Njoku. I think he has top 10 tight end potential. I knew you were going to try and take him because I know you think he's like the most photogenic human on the earth.
I got a backup. I mean, that doesn't change. That doesn't change.
Right.
He can't catch, but, you know.
Great hair. Yeah, the whole – I mean, you saw it the other day. And, well, Trevor, did you watch Hard Knocks yet?
I did not.
Okay, all right. Well, Njoku dropped like two passes in practice, and it was like, oh, boy. But didn't need to watch to know. He actually had a really good rookie season. Some people have started to hint at it, but I think he's going to break out this year. Top 10 tight end in the NFL this season. Joe, let us have it. Who's your Cleveland Brown?
Njoku. Yeah, he's a guy that I had a first round grade on, and so I think he has a big opportunity to have a big time role there. Tyrod Taylor and Baker Mayfield both like to throw the ball to tight ends. If you remember Tyrod with Charles Clay and Baker with Mark Andrews. So I think the stage is going to be set for him to take advantage, and he's got some impressive physical traits to do that.
Kyle, you can't say Antonio Callaway until next year when we do this. So in the meantime,
because I would be insufferable.
Yes, that's exactly why.
Yeah.
So in the meantime.
Well, gee whiz, guys, I'm shocked nobody said Greg Robinson yet. 2014 second overall pick, Greg Robinson. That's not the route I'm going either, for the record.
That ship
I wanted to go with David Njoku, but for the sake of not being super redundant, I'm going to go with Hollywood Higgins, Rashard Higgins.
Mm, yeah, good choice.
I love Hollywood coming out of Colorado State. I thought he was a really great route runner. Turns out you can't be super non-physical in the NFL and have a lot of success. Yeah, well, there you go, too. But Higgins, I think you've seen at least something of a model for quality contributions from like a wide receiver 3 or wide receiver 4. And that's what I'm hoping to see from Rashard Higgins, because I had like a day 2 grade on Rashard Higgins. And he did bounce back pretty strong from his 6-catch, 77-yard performance in 2016 with 27 catches for 312 yards and 2 touchdowns last year. So excited to see what Higgins can do and if he can stick long-term, because he's kind of at that tipping point as a year 3 player. Like, it's either put up or shut up time.
Trevor, are you going to say Carl Nassib?
No. I'm going to say Jabril Peppers, I guess, because this is a guy who, when I watched him coming out of Michigan, obviously the debate was, where do you use him? Played kind of all over the field and almost exclusively hybrid positions while he was at Michigan, just because they wanted him to get him as close to the ball as they could to try to make an impact, and to kind of left him in some weird roles, weird spots, not a lot of development there toward the back end. It was just kind of like, hey, this guy's a super athlete. So he goes to Cleveland, and he ends up playing on the end zone goal line when the team has 60 yards to go before they get there. So there's not really a lot of development from a safety there. I was a guy who really wanted to see Jabril Peppers kind of in a nickel, almost like a big nickel man coverage safety role, and I have no idea if that actually happens, but again, it's just another year where I want to see how they use Jabril Peppers.
Greg Williams played him on Mars last year, but this year
That's what I'm saying. They played him 60 yards from the line of scrimmage, standing on the back end. Well, we didn't get beat deep. Yeah, okay, great.
Peppers said he can't even watch tape of last season because he thinks he played so bad. I mean, he did, but he wasn't helped any either. So,
right.
It's I am just really awkward, even though I wasn't. Okay, Cincinnati Bengals time. Who do we got? John Ross? Any John Ross takers out there?
I mean, I was gonna do John Ross, but
were you?
Not
but you didn't even you hated the pick.
No. It was I'm gonna go the Kyle Krabs route.
Oh, because you'll be insufferable.
Correct. Drafting a guy whose asset is only speed, who's had multiple knee injuries in the top 10. Okay, glad that's working out for you.
Yeah. Could not agree more. Okay, so John Ross is Trevor's guy because that's his insufferable choice of the day. Kyle, who do you have for the Bengals?
Can I also actively root for this?
For John
Ross? I'm gonna give you another one. But yeah, like John Ross was like 120 on my board or something like that. It's just like,
he's what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I get one of those a year. So blind squirrel finding nuts left and right here on this super show. How about Cedric Ogbuehi?
Oh, but
right now, as a Bobby Hart is the listed starting right tackle. Are you kidding me?
That roster's wrong. It's Jake Fisher. Trust
that
me.
Roster is wrong.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's
well, I'm Jake here for Jake Fisher, too, because I was high on both Ogbuehi and Fisher.
Oh, wow. Okay.
This was like my – I had like a three-year stint where like if you were like super nimble-footed as an offensive tackle, like I loved you.
The Jason Spriggs era.
Yeah, the Spriggs era. pour one out for the Spriggs era because that was the tipping point for that one. That was a lot of self-scouting and assessment on that one.
There we go.
But this is not a show dedicated to talking about Jason Spriggs because I didn't talk about Jason Spriggs. So I guess this is your payback for Terrell Evans.
It's fair. Now we're
Spriggs common. Well, you got to bring up Spriggs in every show that we do Super Show.
There we go. Consider it done.
Whoever ends up starting at right tackle for the majority of the season between Fisher and Cedric Ogbuehi.
Okay. All right. Fair assessment. Trevor, you went.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, go ahead.
Yes. Your boy had a first round grade on Tyler Boyd. And
here we go.
I need it. And look, we had the big play to put the Bills into the postseason last year to close things out. So I'm hoping that pushes us into a monster year. They just released Brandon LaFell. So I'm hoping for a lot of volume going to Tyler Boyd's way and for him to prove me right as his playmaking upside comes out.
He's had a good camp. They've said good things about him in camp. Maybe it's finally time for Tyler Boyd. For me, it's Joe Mixon. I mean, on the field, I thought he was a top 10 type of talent in last year's class. And last year was fine. It was okay. It could have been a lot better for sure. Watching the Steelers, I get to watch a lot of Joe Mixon, not only that game, but just in other games because we always get the AFC North games up here. So I see a lot of him. And there were some issues with his offensive line for sure. It was a bad group, but he also tried to improvise way too much. And I think that he needs to trust his blocking a little bit better, see things a little bit better. I was a little bit concerned that he didn't see things as well as he should have. So still have a lot of hope, a little bit concerned over last season, still have a lot of hope and think that he can make good on that talent, especially as an all-around kind of threat. I mean, receiver and running back, you know. So that's a guy for me, at least in terms of on-the-field stuff, that I think really needed a bump from him, and hopefully he gets that this season. I know he's going to – I'm sure – well, Marvin Lewis is still there, so I'm not going to make any promises, but it would make sense for him to get more of a share of the offense this season moving forward.
That would be something that makes sense, so it's probably not going to happen in Cincinnati.
Very good point, actually, yeah. That's very true. AFC North, NFC North, there's the guys from those eight teams that we need to see step up for our own evaluation sakes, and in a lot of cases for the sakes of those teams as well. Draft Dudes, Kyle, Joe, thanks so much for joining us. Next week we come to your show, huh?
Yeah, we'll cook something nice for you.
Man, really appreciate that.
Yeah, bring us a sleeping bag. Definitely. We'll have a good old time.
Okay, all right. A little sleepover. I'm ready.
Teleports.
I'm ready for it. Fort time. Love it. Next week on the podcast, Trevor and I, we're talking about running backs. We're going through scouting running backs and looking at a couple of the big names early in the week and then giving our top fives eventually. Kyle, Joe, what you guys got cooking for next week? Anything?
Yeah, we're going to be finishing up our series on summer flings. We've been talking about who we've had some film crushes on over the course of the past year. And we got Takes on Takes Tuesday, maybe Big Board on Thursday, Scout versus Scout on Wednesday. So some fun segments coming up.
Good stuff. Go over and subscribe.
A lot of alliterations in there. It's good.
That's alliteration our brand.
Sells, so I understand it. Go over Draft Dudes podcast. Subscribe to them. Kyle and Joe, 5 days a week. They've got great stuff. Also on the Locked On Network now. Also members of the Draft Network, which you should check out as well, thedraftnetwork.com. Tons of great content on rookies, second-year players, third-year players, guys to watch in the preseason, college football content, 2019 NFL draft-related content, obviously. So lots of great stuff at all those spots. We always thank you guys for listening. Go to iTunes, give us reviews, ratings. Hopefully they're positive. If not, you can just shove it. Until next time, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.